The Buddha said he got on the right path when he learned to divide his thoughts into two sorts. Those that were based on sensuality, ill will, harmfulness on one side, and those based on renunciation, non-ill will, harmlessness on the other side. He looked at them in terms of where they came from and also where they were going to go. The ones that came from unskillful thoughts would lead to harm for himself or to others. Those based on skillful thoughts would lead to lack of harm, actually lead to the well-being of him and other people. And then he gave the image of a cowherd. He said that during the growing season for the rice, the cowherd has to be very careful to keep the cows in check. Make sure they don't go into the rice fields, eat up the rice. So he has to beat them, drive them back, stop them, or else he's going to get into trouble. That was his image for the unskillful thoughts. He had to stop them in every way possible. As for skillful thoughts, he said, it's like looking after the cows during the hot season. The rice has been harvested. There's no danger for the cows walk into the rice fields because there's no rice. So we can let them wander as they like. All he has to do is sit under the shade of a tree and be mindful of those cows. But this shows that he was able to step back from his thoughts and look at them as a cause and effect process, where they came from, what kind of actions they would lead to, and then decide what to do with them based on that. This is very different from the way most people think about their thoughts. Something comes up and they just jump in. They're inside the thought, and then they go wherever it's going to take them. And the main thought is, this is going to be entertaining, is this interesting? Sometimes they think about whether the thought's useful. But a lot of times it's just for the sake of keeping the mind something to think about, keeping it occupied. But as you said, if you don't think about the consequences of your thinking, you're foolish. Because after all, the mind is the big force in life. Everything follows on the choices of the mind. So you want to be really careful about what you choose to think about. And here you meet up with a problem. Because there's some thoughts that you like to think about and they lead to good results, they're no problem. Thoughts you don't like to think and they lead to bad results, they're no problem either. The ones that are difficult are the thoughts that you'd like to think about but will lead to bad results down the line. And the thoughts you particularly don't like to think about, the efforts you don't like to make, but will actually give rise to good results if you follow through with them. Those last two ones, the Buddha said, are a measure of your discernment, measure of your wisdom. Because you've got to learn how to make yourself want to think the things that are skillful, even though you may not like doing them. And want to stop doing things that are unskillful, even though you may like them. Wanting here is important. As the Buddha said, all things come from desire. In other words, desire in and of itself is not a bad thing, but some desires are skillful and some are not. Then you have to learn how to distinguish between the two. And then cultivate the desires that will be skillful. And say no to the desires that will not. You have to teach yourself to want to do what's skillful. This is an important part of right effort, what the Buddha calls generating desire. It's a matter of your motivation. So how do you talk yourself into doing things that you don't like to do but you know will be good for you? What kind of principles do you use? The number one principle the Buddha said is heedfulness. It's remembering that your thoughts are important. Just because other people don't know what you're thinking doesn't mean they don't have consequences, your thoughts. So you have to think about the long term. This is where heedfulness joins up with discernment. Realizing that it really is important to stop the things that are going to harm you or harm other people. And make yourself think about that harm quite a bit until you realize, I really don't want to go there. As for things that are hard to do but are to give good results, you have to make yourself want to do them. And here again, you have to think about your motivation. I remember reading a Dharma talk by a monk one time saying that to get your mind in concentration, you have to desire to do it. And there has to be a sense of self in that desire. Therefore, wanting concentration is a bad thing. As if every sense of self were a bad thing. That's missing the point entirely. You first have to learn how to use your sense of self carefully, skillfully. Then at the end of the path, when you don't need it anymore, then you let it go. But in the meantime, you may need it to remind yourself that, yes, it will be you receiving the results of these actions, either in this lifetime or some future lifetime. So if you care for yourself, you're not going to let yourself do things that are unskillful. That's a combination of heedfulness and compassion. We have enough suffering as it is in this life. Do you want to add more? Some people feel, well, I've made a lot of merit. I can afford to have a little bit of unskillful thinking in my life. It won't be too bad. But it's like making a cake and then putting sand in the icing. The grains of sand are small, but they make the icing unpleasant. Another way of motivating yourself is a sense of shame. Think about what would the Buddha think if he were watching you. This is called a healthy sense of shame. We hear so much about how shame is bad for people. Well, that's unhealthy shame, the shame that's the opposite of pride. The Buddha actually does have you take pride in your practice. But he also has you take a sense of shame, which is the opposite of shamelessness. The attitude you don't care what other people think. You should care what wise people think. Think of all the trouble the Buddha went to, starving himself practically to death. He was that earnest in finding the path. Then once he found it, he could have spent all of his time just enjoying the bliss of awakening. But he realized that the best thing he could do with his time would be to set forth the Dhamma and the Vinaya. And so for 45 years, even up until he was 80 years old, he was still walking around India, teaching anyone who wanted to be taught. Think of all the effort he went through so that we now and thousands of years later could still practice the Dharma. That's an amazing accomplishment. And you should respect him for his intentions to set forth the Dharma and the Vinaya well. So are you going to throw it away? Are you going to neglect it? Have a healthy sense of shame. Or you can take inspiration. People in the past who've had lots of different problems in their lives, but they're all able to benefit with no limitations in terms of their gender, in terms of their level of education, their level in society. People of all kinds can practice the path. They've gotten good results. They've had to go through hardship. You figure, well, they went through hardship, I can do that too. That's through a sense of inspiration. There's a story in the canon of a monk who's out in the wilderness and he's sick. He's wondering, should I go back into the city to find a doctor? Then he thinks of the great Ajahns of the past, the great noble disciples of the past. They cured their illness with the 7 factors for awakening, the 5 strengths. His attitude was, if they can do it, I can do it too. So what this comes down to is that right effort, the effort to develop what's skillful and abandon what's unskillful, lies a lot in how you talk to yourself, the kind of reasons you give for making choices. So ask yourself, whose voice is making the choices in here? When the Buddha was on his path to awakening, there were times when Mara would come and whisper into his mind. He recognized, well, this is Mara. This is not me. He was able to divide himself out of those voices in his mind. And John Lee gives the analogy, saying that you have all kinds of other consciousnesses in your body. There are all the different worms and germs in your body. Maybe you have some karmic debts with them. Maybe they don't mean you well. Maybe as they go through your bloodstream and go through your brain, they drop off little thoughts that are really not in your best interest. So just because a thought comes into your mind doesn't mean that it's your thought. And it certainly doesn't mean that you have to follow through with it. Learn how to step back from your thoughts. disidentify with them. You don't like the image of the germs giving you ideas, but just tell yourself you've got this committee in your mind. And it's a pretty raucous committee, very tricky committee, because every member of the committee has a voice that sounds like yours. These are different desires that you've followed through in the past. And whether they were skillful or not, you've been collecting them. It's as if you've collected every animal you've met on the street. Some of them mean you well, some of them are not all that grateful to you. Some brought happiness or what you thought was happiness in the past, and so you've kept them on because you haven't really noticed things carefully. So just because a thought comes to your mind doesn't mean it's yours or that it means you well. Learn how to step back from your thoughts, disidentify with them, and then look at them, which ones are going to be the skillful thoughts that will actually encourage you to be skillful in your actions, and which ones will be the opposite. Encourage the former, discourage the latter. Now you can straighten out the mess inside so you don't keep on doing things that will be for your long-term harm. As the Buddha pointed out, when you do things that are for your long-term welfare and happiness, it's not necessary that you take anything away from anyone else. Because these activities are like generosity, virtue, all the skills you develop through meditation. Those cause harm to no one. And those are all a path that's open to us all the time. That's something you should always remember, that regardless of how difficult things are, there's always a skillful way of acting, a skillful way of speaking, a skillful way of thinking that doesn't cause any harm. Tell yourself you want to find it. Make it an important part that you do want it. Because an important part of discernment is wanting. You learn the results that come from virtue, and they're good. Your life is much more peaceful. But then you decide you want more than that. That desire is then your motivation to get the mind into concentration. As when the Buddha himself noted when he was dividing his thoughts into two types, if he confined himself to thinking nothing but skillful thoughts, it wouldn't cause any harm, but it would tire him out if he just kept thinking. So he stilled the mind, got it into concentration, got it thinking about one thing, the breath. That way the mind was able to gain strength. Then when he gained strength in the concentration, he wanted something better than that. So he developed this discernment that enabled him to see the Four Noble Truths, carry out the duties, and gain full awakening. So don't think that desire is bad. It's an important part of right effort. You have to want the peace that comes from virtue, want the peace that comes from concentration, want the higher peace that comes from discernment. Then you're likely to develop it. It doesn't happen on its own. So remember, the important part of right effort is making sure you want the right things. And then make yourself want to want the right things. When you understand that principle, then you're going to be on the path.